Chai FM, your station of choice since 2008.
So if you thought cybercrime was just something that happened in movies, you need to think again. In an age where our identities and bank accounts, even childhood icons, live online, nothing is safe from digital attacks. Just this week, Elmo's official X account was hacked, sending bizarre messages to millions. But what does it actually take to hack someone? Is it high-level espionage or just a weak password? To help us unpack what's really going on behind the scene, I'm joined by Dr. Wade Tse-Long from the Academy of Computer Sciences, Software Engineering, and an expert in cybercrime and cybersecurity. Dr. Leung, a very good morning. I hope that you are well.
Good morning to you and your listeners, Howard. I am well. Thank you.
So Elmo's account being hacked made headlines. But the question, of course, is how easy is it really to hack someone's social media account? Could that happen to anyone listening right now?
Well, yes. It's actually quite, it's frighteningly easy. All it takes, and remember, we as human beings are considered to be the weakest link in any security setting. Because we behave human as humans. So the thing is, technology can do its utmost best to put in measures and say, we will force you to put in stronger passwords, et cetera, et cetera. But ultimately, if we as a human being, say, oh no, but that password's too long. I'm going to write it down somewhere, or I am going to just click random things that get sent my way. That just opens up us up for attacks.
Yeah, and that is what happens. The problem is that we have so many different accounts and different sites that we are part of. How do we manage these passwords? Do we, if our computer suggests one, do we just go with that one?
Well, I think the best way is use a password manager. Do not save your passwords on the browser. So any browser you use, they would offer to save the password for you just for convenience sake. And I think that's also the other element of being a human that makes us more vulnerable. So we want things to be convenient. We don't want a million in one password.
Yes.
And I think you probably, we're all guilty of recycling using that same password in multiple sites because it's easier for us to remember. So the best way is to use a password manager. So you remember one password, you change the password every now and then, but that password manager is then storing all your different passwords. So every single account you have, you use a different password so that in the event that one of these accounts gets compromised, that hacker cannot take that same password and try and use it on different sites and gain access to all your other accounts. So it's the equivalent of having a master key and losing it effectively. So you don't want that.
Are there password managers that are recommended?
Well, any password manager is okay. It's better than nothing, or better than you going, I'm going to recycle the same password, or I'm going to use the same password, over and over again. But as I say, it is now very much recommended that you don't allow a browser, whichever browser you're using, do not allow those browsers to offer you, hey, can I save your password for you? Because in the next time you come, you just click yes, and then it's going to populate the password field for you and you log in. Easy. Don't do that. It is very, very bad practice.
So what's the most common ways that hackers gain access to your information?
Well, I think the easiest is, sending you phishing emails because the thing is, in this day and age, you get lots of emails. So, you're just going to go, oh, yes, click, or even someone sends you a random WhatsApp message because we're curious by nature. So if someone sends you something, you're like, oh, that looks interesting, or, you click on it. Or right now, we're in the middle of SARS e-filing, so attackers will take this opportunity to send you what seems like a legitimate email because you're expecting something from SARS right now. So you see an email from SARS, you go, oh, sure, I'm expecting that. So you click on it and it turns out that, nope, now they've actually managed to, maybe install some sort of malicious software on your computer. It's monitoring your cell phone perhaps, and it's harvesting anything you type as passwords.
Yeah.
That's easily done. Or right. They might even phone you and say, hello, I'm Bank A, you bank it, Bank A. We need you to quickly give us the authorization code, things like that.
And this multi-factor authentication, is that helpful? Is that enough?
Well, it's an improvement, but you can't say, oh, I've got multi-factor authentication, nothing bad can happen to me. Never assume that. It is just one extra layer of security. It's like if you have electric wire fencing in your home, it doesn't mean someone can't break in. It just makes it more difficult for them to break in. But if they invest it, they will.
Right. So that isn't really it. I mean, it's helpful, but it's not really enough. The from a legal standpoint, what protections does South African law offer against cybercrime?
Well, we've got the lovely Cyber Crimes Act, but at the end of the day, I think I've mentioned this to you in many of our engagements, interactions with each other. You have to catch the person first, and they might not be in the country. So what are you going to do about that?
And this is a global problem. This isn't. Is there a global approach to this, as I would imagine there should be?
Well, yes. So there are, each country may have arrangements with other countries. So for example, our Cyber Crimes Act does actually allow South Africa to enter arrangements with other countries in the world, so that if it is investigating cybercrime and they, for example, realize the criminal is likely in somewhere in Europe, they could approach the authorities in Europe for some assistance. So the Cyber Crimes Act does provide us with the possibility of engaging with their counterparts overseas. But at the end of the day, it's also how good a relationship do you have with other countries so that they are willing to cooperate with you.
The worrying thing, as much as we are becoming reliant on AI, it also presents a greater opportunity for cybercrime in terms of deepfake, social engineering. I'm assuming that this makes life a lot more dangerous. Is there a way to counter that?
So I think it is making sure you're careful. You don't jump because the thing is, an attacker will try and bank on you responding immediately. They will try and create a element of, this is very urgent, we need you to act now. Some sort of urgency. So you don't think about it. You don't think, will this actually happen? Should I respond appropriately? Because as you say, there's a lot of deepfakes. I mean, if you think about that, that American politician, Mark Rubio, I think there were deepfake videos of him circulating around and in interacting with his counterparts internationally. If people jump, they might do something that the attacker intended, and then you end up compromising your whatever accounts that you may have.
Yeah, it's very frightening. So before we let you go, in your view, what's the next big cybersecurity threat that people should be aware of that maybe we're not talking about enough?
Well, I think right now a lot of people are using AI, because everyone's just using it, right? The problem is there's a lot of people just using it and thinking that they can spill their deepest, darkest secrets and share their personal data with these AI systems. And what they fail to realize is that the AI may possibly be using this personal information against them at the end of the day. There have been cases of people using AI for counseling, and then the deepest, darkest secrets then get shared with other people.
Oh, my word.
So I think, that is one way, attackers could harvest that. If they know what they're looking for, they could prompt it and say, let me try and nudge that information about Howard. I know Howard's been using AI this way.
Very, very worrisome, but certainly having these conversations makes sure that we are aware of what is out there. That is unfortunately all we do have time for. It is 6:45. That was Dr. Wei Tse Lung, from the Academy of Computer Sciences, Software Engineering and Cybercrime.